the Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
There's a growing hostility towards cyclists. We're somehow seen as a nuisance when in fact we're just people trying to get to work.
I've never ever gotten one bad word said to me about my sexuality or from the opposition or from, actually in one bad time, seriously, the girl was marking me so tightly. I was like, I have a girlfriend.
I'm not the person I was 10 years ago and that doesn't worry me. I know I can play good enough golf.
Don't miss the panel every Saturday afternoon only on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you're very welcome back. So the GAA have had the tricky job of trying to keep everybody happy, which is never quite possible, and not least with the amount of playing time remaining in 2020. So there will be knockout inter-county championship from October, very much along provincial lines. In the meantime, for the club player, they have set aside an 11-week window. So the club has a championship window from July through until October the 11th. Inter-county training is allowed to start on September the 14th, so there's a bit of an overlap there. And then inter-county action gets underway from the 17th of October, a couple of league games, and then we're into championship. And county boards across the country have to try and figure this whole thing out, one of them being Michael Deignan, who is chairman of the Offaly County Board. Michael, thanks a million for making time for us. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, how are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, very well. So I'm not saying this was a hospital pass from the GAA. I mean, it's a tricky situation, but they've laid out the basic parameters of this whole thing, and then it seems it's up to various county boards to figure out the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, that's probably sums it up well, Joe. I suppose it's no different than really how the GAA works. You're supposed to manage your county on a county, I suppose, county by county basis. Every county has different challenges depending on, you know, a lot of things, finance, dual counties, and, you know, all sorts of playing numbers, every sort of issues, I suppose, that you have to take into account. But, you know, I would have felt, look, to be fair to GAA over the last number of months, whether it be locally or nationally, I think under an awful lot of pressure. I think in general, the GAA, while they've been cautious in their approach, I think they've handled it, you know, very well in terms of a very difficult time. But, you know, I would have a few issues about our return to play. First thing I probably wouldn't have done is put a date like the 14th of September when you're allowing clubs to play until the end of October, or you know, even later, the 11th of October. So it's creating that sort of overlap, as you say. I would have said once you're out of the club championship, you can go back and play with your county. I think it's very unfair on a county player that's maybe beaten earlier than that. That they wouldn't be allowed back to the county. And I would have also have said that any county that trains between now and that date, you know, we say that was the 1st of September or whatever, give it a window on them. Look, most players will either be in the semi-finals or finals by mid-September. But, you know, if they're back, if they're out of it, let them back. But if you are going to train as a county before then, like what's going on reportedly now, I'm only reporting what's going on around the country, I would have thrown those teams out of the championship.
Really, that strict? Because it's, so look, that is the reality here. The inter-county teams are not meant to train until the 14th of September. And yet, I mean, there is a grand tradition in the GAA of rules being skirted when it comes to this kind of thing. So there, as you said, we've all heard reports and stories, different teams getting together, breaking the rules already. So certainly as October comes into view, you suspect a lot of inter-county teams are not going to wait until September 14th. John Horan said, if a team is caught breaking the rules, if a county is caught training, we're not intending to punish them. We'd like people to call them out, but we're not actually intending to impose any penalties. So you're saying you'd kick them out of the championship?
Well. Look, I don't want the headline to be to kick them out. I think what you're saying, we've always been skirting the rules. Yeah. This is not skirting the rules. This to me is way more serious than that. We're just coming out of an unprecedented time in all our lives, and we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth here. If community is going to be first and if club is going to be first, for the reasons, it would have been much easier to bring back into a county from a logistics point of view. But the decision was made to go back with our clubs because every player is a club player. Mm. And I'll be honest with you, it's not even disappointing. I'm disillusioned with the direction from inter-county managers, first of all, for forcing and putting pressure on their players to go back training. Because players will do, as I've said many times in the past, they will do whatever they're asked to do. But I'm starting with the inter-county managers, then their county boards for allowing it to happen. I'm also disillusioned with Croke Park for not coming up with stricter sanctions. And the players themselves, and the GPA in particular, for not standing up for the players and saying, we're not accepting this. Mm. Because it's hypocrisy, it's dishonest. And what sort of a message are we sending out to young men that are supposed to be leaders in their community at 22, 3, 4, 5 years of age? They're supposed to be leaders in communities. We're running courses for them. We're putting them through college, through the GPA, and yet we're telling them to be dishonest and to be hypocritical is the right way to go about your business. I think it's disgraceful what's happening around the country. And I think it's high time that people in the GA grew up and grew a pair of balls and called it out for what it is. You're either training with your county or you're not training with your county. And teams that are doing it, it's just not good enough to say. And I'm very, very disappointed with John Horne and Tom Ryan for not coming out. And it was a great opportunity to stop this sort of, as you called it, skirting with the rules. Mm. It's not skirting with the rules. It's
breaking them.
It's breaking them, but it's also, like, I just feel so strongly after what we've been through. People have been sick and dying in our communities. We've all been locked up at home. And where communities really should be first, and our clubs, for once, our clubs, let them have their players without them looking over their shoulders. I've just come out of a meeting with John Mahan and Michael Femley there, and we talked about these issues, and it's so heartening for me to have two men like that putting me under no pressure or putting the county under no pressure. You know, I told them how I felt, and we've agreed that our players go back. They're playing the first round of the championships on the weekend, the 24th of July in football, and the bank holiday weekend in hurling. And what I'm also saying to them is, lads, I've no problem with you keeping in contact with your players. I've no problem with assessing the injuries and seeing how lads are going. I don't want Crocs. This is club and county working together. It's not club or county. Yeah. And I'm saying, you know, after the first round of the championship, do we need to maybe get some treatment for some of the lads? Do we need to be looking how they're going? Do we need to, you know, whatever. But, and the only thing that I would say that I said I would fight for on their behalf is that once players are out of the club championship, that they can go back and train with their county.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because this rule, the 14th of September, with, again, just dates are hard for people to remember on the radio. So inter-county training, 14th of September, and inter-county action is going to start on the 17th of October. Like, I can imagine a lot of inter-county managers saying, hang on, that's about 4 weeks. You're giving me, you know, four times two or three, you're giving me 8 or 12 sessions to prepare for a championship. That's not enough. I want my players. And a lot of county managers are going to be saying that to county board chairmen very strongly over the next couple of days.
But sure are they. Sure are they all back training a lot of them?
That's what we're hearing. I mean, we're hearing reports that a lot of them are.
So the top counties are all training. And maybe the trend for the last, they're training over the whole lockdown in some reports. It's very hard for me. I have no evidence more than anybody else, but this is reportedly that counties are training. So, like, they're not doing that. I'm hearing different stories from different counties, no more than everybody else is. And like, that's what I'm saying. It's not too late to address this issue. And it's not too late for people, for every county in Ireland, to say, leave our club players to the clubs until, you know, I would say around the beginning of September. And that gives, you know, if they're out of the club championship, then if they're not, you have to deal with it on a local basis. And you have to say, look, do you let them into county training one night a week at that stage if you're in a county semi-final or final, or do you not, or whatever? But it's not. I don't think it's reasonable to say you can't go back with the county if you're out of club 3 or 4 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, again, I'm saying you have to work both, but I think the way we went about it was, and like, as I say, I'm sort of including everybody in this, you know, some inter-county managers just took the liberty, or they were able to do it, just to go training. And you're talking about insurance issues. Like, again, it's down to money. Like, how could you say to an intercounty player you're not insured but yet come back training? Like, if he gets hurt, you have to look after him, and you'd have a duty of care to look after your players. So I just think it's a very, very poor example of how we should be running our association and what's going on.
Yeah. Well, as you, John Horne and Tom Ryan have come out and said, we're not imposing sanctions. We're not going to punish them. So really, really, that is just saying to county board chairman, go on away. Like, there's not going to be any great repercussions here. That's confusing. I don't know why they would have come out softly on that, on this issue, this one time.
Yeah, I think it was a great chance to stand up and say anyone that trains is out of the championship. But I also think at local level, you know, surely clubs all over in these counties are not happy. You know, because for the same reason I'm saying, your prized assets are your county players that you really want in the middle of. Now, here was an opportunity to have them at the height of the season for once. We talk about this club and county is complicated. It's not easy to sort out the fixtures. We all know that, but there probably are better ways, and we're not going into that now.
Yeah.
But this was a chance for 6 or 7 weeks, like particularly at the start of this, to say, lads, leave them alone and let them go back and enjoy their club. Because even if they're not with the county now, in a lot of cases, they're looking over their shoulder. They probably have additional training sessions to do, you know, and they're worried about players maybe not getting the level of training. And maybe it's not up to what is required. And maybe, but what about it for 1 year and one couple of months? And like, I nearly think it's gone to the stage now that if a county that's training now goes on and wins the All Ireland, it's kind of taints their success this year, because like it, to me, you're not following. And as I say, it's a very, very poor example. If you take my point, Joe, can we have a bit of honesty and a bit of integrity about what we're doing and the way we're doing our business? And if we have that, then maybe we can start tackling the bigger problems of elitism and unfairness that's in the GAA, and pretending that they're not there is not good enough.
So how will the Offaly Clubs Championship work over the 10, 11 weeks? Is it doable, and will everybody be happy enough, or is it tight?
No, I think it's doable. Look, we took one of the weeks. The extra 2 weeks we got, we gave one to the clubs to keep preparing. You know, we didn't put in the championship on the weekend of the 17th. We went out to the 24th, and it's every second week then, hurling and football. Some of our dual clubs obviously will find it difficult, maybe with injuries and panel sizes. But I suppose, look, we've always had dual county issues in Offaly, and we're also putting on under 20 championship, which is a knockout championship, a few weeks into the senior. We didn't put it on straight away because we didn't want to be knocking lads out early on. That might be their main grade, so let them back and get maybe 6 or 7 weeks training with their club under their belt, and they might play a bit of intermediate or junior or whatever as well. So look, I suppose it's more of a festival of games. I suppose whatever training we're going to get done is now, and that's one concern I think that's coming up a lot. You know, even though we had a webinar here last weekend led by our own GDA and performance Dave here and the two senior hurling and football strength and conditioning, Dermot Sheridan and Kieran Keogh, they ran a webinar and returned to play and training. But what I'm seeing is, I'd say, clubs, especially dual clubs, are really cramming in the training now, and challenge matches starting this week. So I think that's something that we're going to have to be very, very careful of. But outside of that, you know, as I say, the players are mad to get back. There's huge crowds turning up for training all over the county. I think someone quipped that they wouldn't have maybe half of them at a lot of other years. Yeah. But everyone seems to be full of beans, and I think it's going to be great. Again, look, there's a bit of a question mark, Joe, over all this. It's, you know, if at all, like, you know, I'm sort of saying here, we're kind of taking a week-to-week attitude here. We fixed our matches. We've fixed single-only venues for the moment. We're looking at safety protocols, and we're not looking too far ahead. You know, we're looking at the first round now, which is ahead of us, and we're trying to plan for the future. But, like, hopefully, you know, the virus stays away, and, you know, we have very little protocols around if somebody gets it, and if somebody gets it in the club, what do you do? And I hear reports of a fairly high-profile club down the country where somebody has it today, and maybe they've closed down again for a week or so. Like, I think we're going to have plenty of teething problems over the next few weeks, and it wouldn't take a lot maybe for this thing to unravel if we saw maybe cases picking up through in our community. So, like, let's take a cautious approach still, but as I say, I can't stress highly enough how strongly I feel that we should leave our players with their clubs for the same thing.
Yeah, and what does happen if a player or two in a club, maybe on a Tuesday, you get word, well, they're due to play a match on the Saturday and two of them have tested positive. Is that game off?
I think, as I said, we don't, you know, and I'm not, you know, we've thought about this and I have thought about it. And I suppose, look, it is, what choice are you going to have in terms of the other players, your community responsibilities? These players are going home. So, like, that's what I'm saying. You know, I was just listening to your piece there about Jack McCaffrey. Like, we would have, you know, a club as well, a club or two with doctors on their teams and with people working on the front line. So all these issues are out there still. And I think it's a few weeks away. And that's kind of what we've been saying, that, look, if the numbers stay good and if things stay well, you know, these issues mightn't arise. But they can arise, and it's going to be totally uncharted territory for us all. So, you know, and I certainly not qualified to give medical advice about any of these things. So I just think there's still plenty. I think we've jumped back into it, and we're delighted to be back. And I think particularly for our young people and our underage, I think to be back up and running, and, you know, the risks seemingly are lower at that age group, and the cool camps. And you have all this going on. There's a huge amount of planning going into all these activities. But I still think there's still a cautiousness and a question mark over the whole thing, and let's hope it stays going in the right direction.
No, it could all change overnight at any given moment. Just a general point now that you're in as a county board chairman and feet under the table. So, like, take this COVID situation as an example of maybe the broader problem. So it seems to me, looking in from afar, we have 32 different fiefdoms almost where. Different, say, take the COVID thing. I saw up in Derry, Stephen Barker up there told Rory Gallagher effectively that there are going to be games right up until the 11th of October, and that's just the way it's going to be. you know, and he was politely told that's the way it's going to be. We're going to put the club player first. And then, you know, half an hour down the road, you could have a inter-county manager who is running the show and is telling the county board chairman what's going to be what and how it's going to be done. And then it's something different than the next county and so on. And it seems like an awfully, you know, you're looking out in the best interest of everyone, which is great. But it always strikes me, there's such a disparity across 32 different counties. Like, do we not need to get to a point where Croke Park centrally get in there a bit more and just dictate what is going to happen? And if there's an inter-county manager and a weak county board chairman, well then, you know, all the players in that county shouldn't be the victims.
Look, it's complex, Joe. I'm in here about 6 months. I suppose my reasons for going for the job are well documented, but, you know, it was just in the best interest of Offaly hurling and football, and going back and looking at our whole culture and where we've gone and supporting our clubs, supporting our schools, getting back into our schools as well a lot more. And there was some very good work going on, and just trying to build on that. And, you know, we were trying to develop a strategic plan and bring a lot more people with us. And we were doing all that, you know, we had 3 months in the job and there was a lot going on. And then you get this. And I suppose it does bring things to the fore. And I suppose that's why I'm disappointed. I think there was an opportunity here, you know, to actually do a reassessment, which kind of happened in society over the last couple of months. We saw decisions made overnight in relation to health and social welfare and other and homelessness issues were dealt with, or not their homelessness issues, but maybe issues of people, you know, all sorts of issues that arose out of the COVID. We didn't have time to spend years and years talking about them. We had to go and actually do things. And I think that's a philosophy that I sort of have. If you have issues, you need to throw them out. I don't think anybody has all the answers, but there's certainly, to me, a better way of doing it. And I think it sort of it starts with honesty, and it starts with our players. Our players have to be put back into the middle of this. And anyone that can tell me that it's healthy for an amateur sportsman to be giving up 31 hours a week to train, that's okay. And what are we doing then? We're trying to catch up then. So if you're inside in the GPA, I'm not anti-GPA. I think some people, if anybody, you know, it's an issue, I think, that if any of us are past players and there's numbers out there asking questions around the GPA, you get sort of bandaged as being old-fashioned and not support them. I'd be the biggest players man that's out there. But where I see the problem is, the GPA are saying there's 31 hours a week on into it. So the answer to that is, we'll promote education, we'll promote mental health and well-being, we'll put courses in place, we'll give scholarships, we'll get better mileage. But that's not addressing the fact that they're still doing 31 hours a week. All that is doing is that we're compensating them for doing that 31 hours a week, which is causing a lot of the problems that we're having to set up these supports for in the first place.
And what's the easiest way to cut 31 hours a week?
The easiest thing is to, I think it has to become, from a funding point of view, there has to be more disparity, or there has to be more of an equalisation. Because if you have a county that has plenty of money and they're able to pay for the backroom teams. I was only starting with the players now. The backroom teams is another issue. Mm. You have 20, 30 people. So what's happening is the gap is getting wider between the haves and the have-nots. So what are the rest of the counties really then? Bar maybe the top 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 in a good, we'll take our Division 1 teams. What other county in Ireland at the moment, realistically, outside the top 5 or 6, have a chance of winning all Ireland? Mm. Nearly ever again under the current system. And that's the reality. So what are you then after that? You're really only going to be cannon fodder for the big teams. And like, so what we want to do in Offaly is we want to get our structures right, we want to improve the standard of our players, we want to, you know, give them the best a chance they can to compete. But unless there's a level playing field much wider than that, we still won't be able to, because we don't have the numbers, human resources, and we don't have the finances. And whatever about not having the human resources, if the finances are level, well, you might get a bunch of players like what happened to us in the 80s and 90s and 70s, 70s, 80s and 90s, that could compete across the board. So, you know, I think finance is a big thing. But even outside of that, just say, look, our county players are going to be available 2 nights a week. They do a night or two in the gym on their own, and we're not going to train in November and December. Wouldn't that be a great start? Mm. Give them a couple of months off, right across. And for the GPA to say that, to no county players, well, because it's proven medically that an off-hazard training is not required. So why are we doing it for an amateur sport? And it's just got out of control, and nobody has said stop, and it's become the all-powerful. And I say anyone that criticises it is considered to be out of touch. And, you know, and if anyone thinks that, and I think, Joe, I know I'm going on a bit, but If you take, and it's, I'll explain why it's so complex. If you take this great Dublin team, everyone says it's money, and it's not. Those players, if you look at those players and look at a lot of their backgrounds, they come from families steeped in GAA. They come to have that, love of the game, to have that tradition in their own families. A lot of them came from small clubs that didn't have a whole lot, and I don't want to name clubs, but you know what I'm talking about, that Dublin team. A lot of them didn't have it all their own. They weren't born with a golden spoon in their mouth. They had to put in the time and the effort. So that love of the game will always be there. That hours and hundreds of hours to perfect your skills will always be there. But don't tell me that when you come to 17 or 18, if you have 2 million a year to spend on your team and we've only got 200,000 or 300,000, that it won't make a difference. Of course it will. So it's up to the likes of Offaly to fix our own problems, but then it's up to Croke Park to help us to compete then at the next level. If we do everything that we do and we still have this massive gap, how can we compete with them? And that's where I have I think the book has to be balanced there. And that takes time across the board, but it's getting wider and wider and wider. When you look at the figures, 30 million spent on GAA inter-county teams last year, 31 hours for inter-county, and clubs been completely left out. And the club-county thing has always been an issue. And there will always be issue between club and county. But there shouldn't be this almost hatred building up now. And nearly to be, I think it was Kieran Cunningham saying, Jesus, if you say something that you like county football or hurling now, it's nearly a bad word. You know? Like, I love county hurling football. I love the standard. I love this great Dublin team. I love the great, and the Dublin Mayo rivalry, the Dublin Kerry matches have been outstanding. And then in the hurling, look, we've just been spoiled over the last 10 years. So it's not anti the games, it's not anti thing, but there has to be a balance somewhere, I think, that's better than what it is. And we had a chance here now just to make a change, to say community comes first, nearly family comes first, and being with your own people comes first. And what have we done? We've jumped straight back in to the inter-county rat race again. And I just think a lot of people want to have a look in the mirror. And as I named them all earlier, from top to bottom. And it's very easy to blame Croke Park for this, but when there's no, you know, when the inter-county manager, who is very powerful in these counties, and they're trying to win McCarthy and Sam Maguire, they won't make any. These are all ruthless operators who want to win. But they shouldn't have been allowed to dictate in this case by their county boards, and they shouldn't be allowed to dictate by Croke Park. And the players themselves should stand up and say, no, lads, by the way, like Jack McCaffrey, I don't know what Jack McCaffrey, but maybe he just wants to go back and play with his club for the next few months. I don't know. I know he's a doctor as well, and let him speak for himself. But I think, you know, a lot of players could have stood up here and said, instead of just being ruled by their inter-county manager, say, by the way, no, I'm going to play at my club now for the next. And maybe the ultimate answer was not to have any inter-county this year, just leave it at the club.
Yeah. Listen, the clock's come well against me. Thanks so much for your time. It's much appreciated. Michael Dignan, Chairman of the Offaly County Board. Thanks, Michael.
See you, Joe.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.